I'd like you to, at the very beginning, and then keep it on your mind throughout the homily, entertain this question. Why do I believe in the resurrection? Not me, but you. Why do you believe in the resurrection? It's a necessary belief as a Christian to believe in the resurrection. You can't really be Christian. You can't be Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection. So I'm going to presume you all do, or at least, you know, you're struggling with it. You know it's a thing that ought to be believed. So think about that. Why do I believe in the resurrection? Okay. Last week, if you remember, we had the whole Doubting Thomas episode. Gospel of John, Jesus comes to the upper room, comes through the doors, although they're locked. Here's my hands, here's my side, it is I, they see him. Thomas wasn't there. Next week, Jesus comes back, right? Okay, so you remember that, unless you didn't go to church. Don't raise your hand. All right, so that's what happened last week. So now we get from Luke a very similar scene. In fact, what kind of seems like maybe it was the same event, but the details are different. But a lot of it's the same, but some of the details are different. And one of the things that we find, right, we have four Gospels, one of the things we find is similar scenes with different details. And sometimes people consider this problematic. Well, if, you know, if the eyewitnesses were all there, why aren't they reporting the same thing? Well, then there would just be one gospel. You have to remember how this the whole thing went down, right? The gospels weren't written until 35 years, arguably the first one, arguably Mark, written about 35 years after the Lord's ascension, which means that there was all of this oral tradition going on, this, because that's largely how they did it. They would just keep telling the stories of what happened. At some point, they said, we should probably write this down. And they went after the accounts, and they have the four, right? And they wrote those down. It actually makes more sense that there's some divergence, because there is obviously going to be a divergence of memory, right? I mean, otherwise, again, they would have just created one gospel or smushed them all together and made a single gospel. There's a value in the different aspects of the gospels. So actually, I think the variance argues more positively for the reality than if they were all the same thing, which obviously wouldn't make sense to include them all. So we have to remember the type of writing it is. Eyewitness accounts, but it's being remembered by different people. Okay, so today's gospel comes right after the gospel or the section on the road to Emmaus. And I think it's important to recall what that was. So the road to Emmaus, you have these two disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the things they had heard. That, of course, they were talking about Jesus who had died, but then they had heard he had risen again, or at least the tomb was empty. Both, actually. And then this stranger comes up with them and, you know, walks alongside. What are you talking about? They didn't recognize it was Jesus yet. There wasn't that recognition. And so they told him, well, this is what happened. And, you know, we have reports that he's risen, that he's appeared to Mary. And then Jesus begins to explain to them the scriptures and how everything that the scriptures foretold about the Messiah pointed to these very events, right? So he's teaching them. They still don't recognize him. So this is post-resurrection Jesus. There's something different about him. Then they get to the place where they're going to stay for the night, and the Lord takes bread, blesses it, and breaks it. And at that moment, they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And then he's gone. So they go back to Jerusalem, and then we have this. They go back because they've got to tell the apostles what they've seen. They've got to share in their experience. And so they get there, and while they're there, here he comes again. And the apostles don't recognize him immediately. Right? And what I said last week is what you'll find in all the post-resurrection accounts are these very similar details, that there's something different about him that, you know, there's a familiarity, but they're not sure until he identifies himself. Look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side, look at the wounds of the cross. I am the one who was crucified, who stands before you now. And then he does, you know, physical, well, he even says it, but he does physical things to demonstrate, because, you know, why would you record something like they gave him a piece of baked fish, he took it and ate it in front of them? Like, okay, thanks. Like, you know, why record that? Well, the reason you're recording that is because it was important enough for the Lord to do it, but also for them to demonstrate he has a physical reality. There's something different, resurrected body, but there's still physicality. There's still, you know, matter here, not just spirit. He's not just a ghost, right? Or the appearance of someone from heaven. Now, what's happening that we find in all of these accounts is the Lord doesn't, I mean, he explains how the scriptures point to what happened, but the reason why the apostles and the disciples and all who follow Jesus come to believe is because they have an encounter with him. They have an experience of Christ. And then they come to believe. And that belief of having had that experience, that belief takes them through all kinds of persecution, right? From this small group of people, you have the beginnings of the Catholic Church. And you have accounts of so many other accounts, even outside of the scripture, of all of these things that are happening in the early church. And from these experiences of the risen Lord, because if they had not experienced the risen Lord, they would not have been moved to continue, right? Because he would have just been one of those prophets who died like the others, and then it was over. They would have gone back, likely, or they would have fizzled out as a group, etc. But the encounter of Jesus is what motivated them to continue to move forward and preach the gospel. I sometimes wonder what you all think priests are like. I mean, I'm the same all the time, pretty much, but just so you know. But like, relative to what we believe, like, our priests, I mean, I can just speak for myself, but I think there are some people who think, well, if you became a priest, it's because you just accept everything and you just, you know, do what you're told. And, well, that is not me. From the earliest age of thinking about this stuff, I have questioned everything. I would not be Catholic if it could not stand up to my scrutiny, right? And you, of course, you'd say, well, what's so special about your scrutiny? The only thing that's special about mine is it's me, and that I had to come to a point of it, at least the beliefs, the teachings of the church are at least consistent with reason. I can't prove everything, but they're consistent, they're reasonable, they're rational. And I've considered, I think, every atheistic argument. I've come to a point where I think that I have pretty good counter arguments, or again, I would not believe. I questioned everything. I still do. And here's the thing about that. The reason ultimately that I'm Catholic and the reason that I'm a priest, some of it is assisted by feeling like and believing I have a pretty good argument, or at least what the church teaches is reasonable. But it's more than that. It's because from an early age, I remember, and even my mother and my grandmother would speak of this, having an encounter with Jesus. And all through my childhood, there would be these different, so Jesus is really spotty with me. He doesn't give me an encounter of him a lot, but when he does, here and there, it's a lot in that moment. And throughout my life, throughout my teenage years and into my young adulthood and even to this day, there are times where there is no other explanation for the experience than it is an experience of Jesus Christ. All of the arguments, I mean, they're interesting, but they don't make up for the experience. And those of you who struggle with belief, you struggle with teachings of the church, and you know, it's everybody, or struggle with even, do I believe in God? The arguments will not satisfy you. You'll get to the point where you've heard all the best arguments and you still will realize something is lacking. And what is lacking is the experience of Jesus Christ, the encounter. Those of you who are having difficulty or will have difficulty, don't look for a better argument. Look for a greater, more impactful experience. Don't ask God to make it make sense to you. Ask God to make himself present to you. This is what changed the world. The experience of the risen Lord. And so in your prayers and even while you're here, and even if you've had the experience before, and oftentimes, ask the Lord for an encounter. Lord, I want to know you. Knowing more about you is fine, but I want to know you. I want to have an encounter with you. And then, of course, as the Lord has done so many times in the scriptures, how he reveals himself, he has desired that the most profound, repetitive experience or encounter with him is in the breaking of the bread. And this is why the Eucharist is central to the Catholic faith, because it echoes the scriptures. He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And so every time we receive the Eucharist, we have the possibility, if our hearts are properly disposed, we have the possibility of this great experience. And I encourage you all to divest yourselves of that, to open yourself up for that, because that is what will make the difference in your life. Please stand.